Welcome, everybody, again to this, some of you are repeat visitors to this series on local online marketing, and today we're going to talk about how to get found in your town or local search engine optimization. My guest today is Aaron Wall, and he is the author of SEO Book, a fabulous book on this very topic. As you know, again, this is part of a series. I think I've got about three more of these scheduled, and I'm having so much fun, I think I'm going to keep scheduling some more. I've got some other great people lined up for April and May now. But you can find out really about these events and sign up for other portions in this segment at localonlinemarketing.com. Again, as I remind you every time, have a pen and paper handy. We're gonna go fast. We're gonna give out lots of websites, particularly today. Some maybe verging on highly technical stuff today. But as those of you who've been on past calls know, that I will also give you an opportunity to request a page that has all of these links on there. So if you are afraid you haven't got them copied down right, sometimes it's a little hard to do that. Again, listen at the end, and I'll have an opportunity for you to get all that information in one handy place. The term SEO, search engine optimization, whatever you want to call it, it's been around really for quite a while, and it's probably the heart and soul of kind of, again, picking on the folks, the internet marketing crowd. But really, I think small businesses and small business website owners are really finally starting to wake up to really awesome power of search engine optimization as a marketing strategy, particularly when it comes to getting found in your town, in your locality, in your region. A lot of folks went out there and rushed out there and got websites and said, well, you know, after having it out there, and no magic came about because of it. So, well, what the heck do I need a website for? I really just want to find people in my community. I don't need to find people around the world. Well, listen to this quote from a recent survey conducted by the Kelsey Group. Telephone survey has found that 70% of U.S. households now use the internet, and in particular, search engines, for information when shopping locally for products and services. It makes the internet tied with newspapers as the leading medium used to seek products and services locally. Again, that was a part of an excerpt out of a survey conducted by the Kelsey Group. So if you are not on the internet, if you're not thinking in terms of generating leads and traffic and serving your customers locally, then look out, look, you're going to get run over. So let's bring Aaron on here. And before we get too far, Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into this somewhat new field still or within the last 10, 15 years, and maybe a little bit about your book.
Well, I jumped on the web just over 2 years ago, actually.
Wow, okay, yeah.
I didn't know much about marketing or web design or anything at that point. As I was trying to build sites and stuff, it, you know, was readily apparent how important being found was.
Yeah.
And what happened is I created a site that just had some tips for stuff on how to do SEO stuff as I learned it. And before the site was even formatted, like, or well indexed or anything, someone wanted to hire me to do SEO for them. So I said, sure. Okay. And then I did, and they did well, referred me to a friend, and then it happened a few times in a row, and then it was like, well, I could just do this for a living, you know?
Yeah.
And you just keep learning as time goes on.
Well, and it is funny. It's one of those industries that it changes every day. There's some aspect of it that changes every day. So in some ways, somebody who has been in it for a long time, right, it really almost doesn't matter because what you knew yesterday may change tomorrow. So let's kind of try to get everybody on the same page. I know a lot of terms are thrown out. Just for the listeners, tell us, when you say the term search engine optimization, can you kind of give us a definition to frame that so we're all talking about the same thing today?
All right. Some people think search engine optimization is like I need a number one ranking, but that's not so much what it is. It's just about getting your site in front of a target audience that will hopefully convert.
Yeah.
In Haifa, Israel, a while ago, Google did a presentation where they said that 50% of search queries each day are unique, as in, like, never happened before.
Wow.
So what happens, if you create content and it's around a theme, you end up, you know, hitting not only some of those more generic terms, but you also end up, you know, being picked up on a lot of the longer terms, and the longer search query is, the more implied intent in the search, and the better the conversions will be.
And forgive me if I do this to you a lot, but I just want to make sure. But when you say search query, that's, you know, that's what you go to Google and you type in there, you know, day spa in Kansas City. You know, that's a search query. Okay. And again, some of this will be too basic, but I don't want to lose anybody.
All right.
So I guess those of you that are following this series know that I'm doing a series on this, but we're not talking about advertising. We're not talking about pay-per-click. We're talking about literally the results that occur when somebody naturally goes out there and searches. So tell me who the major players are in the world of search engines. Who do we need to know about? Who do we not need to know about? Whatever, however you want to approach that, draw us a picture.
There's the number one search engine right now is Google.
Right.
They probably have, there's varying studies. They probably have somewhere around like 50%, 60% market share, something like that.
Okay.
Then there's Yahoo.
Right.
And then they have somewhere around, you know, 20, 25%.
Okay.
Then there's MSN, who has somewhere around like 13, 15%.
Okay.
Then there's Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves, right, okay.
It has about 4%.
Oh, okay.
They recently were, Interactive Course recently bid on them to buy them.
Right.
And if that goes through, they're going to promote them on all their sites, which are like Expedia.com, Hotels.com, and all that.
Oh, okay.
That could go up to like 6 or 7%.
Yeah. Okay, where does AOL fit in this?
They're not very high. They've been just consistently losing pretty much in all fronts. I think they're pretty low too. Somewhere around like after.
Okay. So one of the things that I get, and I bet you get, and I know my listeners get all the time, is you get these most of the time spam emails that say, you know, for $9.95, we'll register you with 100,000 search engines. So would you say offhand that, you know, ignore those? I mean, there really aren't 10,000 or 50,000 search engines?
Well, there's probably like, you know, hundreds of thousands of various search indexes. But the problem is that they're either going to be they either win in distribution through having higher relevancy or through focus, and you don't get when you spend $10, you don't get, you know, some guy looking up the right categories in a directory and manually submitting you. You don't get all the various things that would be needed to do well, and they're also the volume of searches goes down, you know, like logarithmically, like number 1 through 5 has more than number 5 through, you know, a million or whatever.
Okay.
You know
what I mean? So for our conversation today, let's say we're talking about kind of those top 5 that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step, and maybe this isn't the first step, but it's a question I get asked all the time. If I've created a new website, and, you know, for my website, let's say it's KansasCityTacos.com, and you know, it's not listed anywhere, nobody knows about it, you know, how do I get just first off indexed or listed by those 5 so that even if somebody types in, heaven forbid, you know, KansasCityTaco.com, you know, that I at least show up for that?
All right. There's lots of machines that just pump out pages, that crank out tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of pages.
Yeah.
And the first thing a search engine does when it looks at a page is it tries to grab the words out of the code, and then from there it stores those in it creates what's called a reverse index by word, which means that basically each word that the document hits under, the document will be recorded as hitting under that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, just looking at the page content, if I'm a search engine, I can't say, well, this is a good document.
Right.
What they need is independent citation. They need links from other websites.
Well, okay, I'm gonna get to where you're headed there. I guess I want to say, before we even get to that, if I just want, I mean, should I register with, I have this new site, should I go to some page on Google and submit that, or are you saying what you're talking about now, what you're going to get to now is more, you have to do first?
Well, I think you can submit to a lot of the major search engines, but they may or may not pick you up that way.
Okay, so that's not really an important step, you're saying?
No, not at all.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So go ahead then. So now what you're talking about is the right way to get picked up or indexed.
Right. It's
okay. Okay.
If you build links, if a bunch of sites point at me,
right,
and a search engine sees links from all over the web pointing at my website,
right,
then they're going to think that people have a reason to be citing me. People have a reason to be pointing links at me. They're going to say, well, maybe there's something good here. I should, you know, not only does it get you indexed,
mm-hmm,
but it it'll help keep you in the index, because a lot of times new sites come into the index and
yes,
then they for a little bit, then they fall out, and then they take a while to get reindexed and stay stabilized
okay
in there.
So you're saying one of the quickest ways to get a new site searched or indexed at least would be to go out and find some sites that certainly are relevant but that are popular and find a way to get them linked back to you?
Right, and a couple other options there are participating in like communities, like especially if you're new, you'll probably have some questions about, hey, how do I do this?
Right.
So some of the SEO forums will allow you to have signature links in your,
okay,
in your post. Now these won't carry a lot of weight to make you rank really high because there's so many links on the page and stuff,
uh-huh,
on forums.
Right.
But they're rapidly changing pages, and a lot of them have decent root link or root site popularity, so
yeah,
they get crawled frequently.
So what you just said is you go to a forum that and maybe ask a question, and in that maybe you've registered, so then it puts what is effectively a link back to your site in that forum post.
Yep. And
okay,
you want to do it not just for the link, though, because
yeah,
if you do that, that could end, especially if you're doing it on an on-topic one,
right,
that could end up bringing you into your topic in a sour way. And in the long term, you're going to want support from people within your topic.
Right.
Well,
it's like everything. Good time, content, and don't spam. Right?
Yeah.
Like everything.
And you also can, like press releases is another option to get a quick link, too.
Awesome. So my favorite is PR Web.
Mm-hmm.
There's a website that people can go to and submit a press release for free, or there is a small sort of charge version that will get you even more exposure. And so then your press release might show up in something like Google News or Yahoo News as recap for the day, and again, get a link back to your site, isn't it?
Yep. And another nice thing with those press releases is that if you, target the press release around certain keywords, if it gets in those news feeds, sometimes it can end up appearing, like, at the top of Google's regular search results, they have what you call one box.
Mm-hmm.
And it is either, they recently, like today, they just started putting stock charts at the top of if people search for a ticker symbol. And if they search for something that might have related news or weather or something else that relates to it, they can put that at the top of the search results. So sometimes if you have something that's going to be a quick-moving product that you need to move quick or something that's really hot, you might be able to get to the top of the search results, if only
right
for a day or two, using
right
a press release like that.
And in some cases, many, many sites might pick up your press release or aggregate. A lot of RSS news aggregators now are creating content out of those press releases that are submitted and actually publishing them on many sites.
Yep, and that can help not only with direct distribution, but it can also help, build a little more link popularity too.
Okay. Are there any in some cases, and again, I'm not talking about anything that would be considered spam or that would be considered illegal or unethical by the search engines, but are there any other kind of little tricks that could speed up the process that you're aware of?
It's mostly just about getting. Oh, there's another good one too. Is if you have like a blog type website or a website
okay
that publishes an RSS feed,
right?
You can submit to My Yahoo,
right?
And typically their crawler will come around and pick that site up.
Well, we've talked about this on the one we did on blogging. Actually, the best way to do that strategy is to actually create your own My Yahoo account and subscribe to your own feed, because that guarantees that they'll call it almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other, I remember there's a site people might want to check out called freefind.com. Are you familiar with that one, Aaron?
It's a search.
Yeah, what they'll actually do is crawl your entire site and with the idea of creating a search, your own internal search engine on your site or your own internal site map, which is nothing more than a page that shows all the lists of the links and how they link together. And I do know that people have had a lot of – first off, that's a nice tool to have on your site, but I do know that some people have had success actually submitting that site map that they create to Google and actually getting their site crawled much faster.
Yeah, another good tool for creating a sitemap is, I think it's spelled X-E-N-U, Xenu it's called. And it'll crawl your site and look for any dead links you may have, and it'll make a sitemap. If you have a large site, it can help you save time with hunting out all the dead links and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, and that's actually that's one of the things I had on my list of things I want to talk about, so we'll come back to that site map idea. But so let's say we've gotten the sites to kind of take notice, and they're starting to think about your site. Then what do we do? What are some of the things, particularly that, and I'm sure you have kind of a whole checklist of things that you need to A, do, and then B, not do, to maybe have your page start showing up for search terms that are important to you that have to do with your product or your service. So you want to kind of go over some of those important things that people need to be aware of, particularly people that are out there kind of doing a little bit of their own website design, which I know there are lots of folks doing that.
All right. Well, we'll start off with on-the-page stuff, if that's okay.
Yeah, okay.
More primitive search technologies didn't even look at the page content so much. They would just look at, like, the page title and, like, the meta tags. Well,
right.
The meta tags aren't really used anywhere near as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the page title is hugely important.
Okay.
In fact, when Google was doing the research with of making up what was called Backrub, the predecessor to Google, they talked about how they had better search results than any of the search engines at the time just by using PageRank combined with the page title of pages.
And just, again, sort of this 101 type stuff here, the title is actually something that's part of the HTML code. And for those of you that go and look at that, it'll be bracketed by the word title. Every page has one. And if you're searching or if you're surfing and you pull up a page in most browsers, the title will actually show up at the top of your browser window. And it is amazing how often people will just have the company name as the title tag or something, and obviously if I knew your company name, I wouldn't have to search very hard, right? So tell me what people. So you said that that's the number one in your mind, or certainly a biggie. So what are the kinds of things people should put in that title?
Well, you can do a keyword research to find out what your prospects would be searching for.
Right.
And there's a lot of ways to do this. A fundamental error a lot of people run into is that they have their own preconceived notion or their own internally mandated corporate speak or something like that.
Yeah, and about what people are actually looking for, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the best way to do is, get in some of the conversation with your customers. What are some of their common questions? How do they look for stuff? How do they go through the buying process?
Sort
of stuff. And then there's online tools for Digital Point has a free one.
What's it called?
Digital Point.
Digital Point. And what you're saying is that this actually, these are tools that actually go out there and some way or another magically can show you the real terms that people are using to search for things in your industry, right?
Right. And what happens with a lot of these types of tools is that there will be some errors in them, like some people use bid checkers or there's various errors. The numbers aren't going to be exactly correct.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that you get the idea of, okay, these people are looking for this stuff. This is how people search, and you can collect some of that data.
Right, and we'll get to this a little later, but the pitch, particularly in local search, the way people string words together is probably even less intuitive than you might think. Let's see, Overture, Google, all have some keyword tools, don't they?
Yep. Google has a keyword tool with AdWords. It doesn't show search volume. There's also a tool called Google Suggest. What it does is it tries to autocomplete your search query your search.
Yeah,
so you type in, like, the first deal, maybe it's, like, lighting or something, right? And then it'll be like lighting space fixtures, lighting space dealers, lighting space whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like you enter, you enter in one of your words and it'll try to complete the rest, and I believe that's organized primarily in order of search volume.
Okay.
They don't give stats on it, but
okay.
And then Overture has a
yeah.
tool too, like you said.
Right.
But the digital point tool actually uses Overture
okay.
and Word
Good.
Tracker side by side.
And then there are a couple. There's one called Good Keywords I've run across. Word Tracker is another paid service, and I'll have these on the list of resources. But I'm going to keep us moving. So we said title tag. What are some other important on-page elements?
All right. One more thing about the title tag a lot of people mess up is that they make a site title. It's a page-by-page thing. It's not going to
right,
be.
Right,
so,
right.
And
yeah,
that's rather important. As far as other on-the-page stuff, is you can mark up your content using heading tags, which, like the title, it would be in brackets, like H1 or H2.
Right.
It goes 1
mm-hmm.
through 6.
Mm-hmm.
What I typically do is I have one H1 tag on the page, and
mm-hmm.
I make it something similar to the title, maybe not exactly matching, because you
okay.
still want it to, people are going to be seeing it. And
yeah. Still got to look good. Right.
So it might be slightly different.
Okay.
And then I tend to use another error a lot of people mess up is they don't break up their content enough to make it appealing to read through.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts your conversions, and it also hurts your structure of the search engines. What you can do is every paragraph or every other paragraph, you can start off with a H2 or H3 subheading tag to break up the content by
okay.
the different ideas. That,
right.
Go ahead.
And these are just HTML tags that,
mm-hmm.
for those of you out there doing those are, there's nothing magic about those. They're there on your editor, probably. Okay.
Yep. And then as far as the meta tags go,
mm-hmm.
the keywords tag really isn't that important.
Okay.
You can put misspelled versions in there, or you can put versions of a keyword that may not be in the page. Like, let's say on the page you have model number MN-939.
Right.
So maybe you put MN-939 without the dash in the
yeah.
keywords. But
yeah.
it's not that important.
Okay.
The meta description tag isn't really used by Google that much, but like Yahoo
mm-hmm.
does weight it into the algorithm.
Right.
Another nice thing about the meta description tag is if the keyword phrase people are searching for is in your description tag,
mm-hmm.
that helps you craft more
mm-hmm.
of the display that ends up in the search results.
Yeah, so on top of having your title and your link, it might be 50 words that kind of gives the searcher an idea of what they might find there.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of and that's one thing a lot of people miss out is they reuse words way too much or do stuff like that to make
mm-hmm.
content that doesn't read well.
Right.
And that content's going to hurt it may not have a good click through rate in the search results, and it's going to hurt the
right.
hurt the conversion rates too.
Let me throw in my soapbox. one of the ways that you will never ever be penalized for is also writing and creating good content that people want to read and want to find. And I don't think we can talk about all these tags and strategies, but you'll never beat that. as a strategy, at least that's my feeling.
Yeah, it's a lot of things people miss out.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that you want good content, but it's
right.
not necessarily easy to define.
Yeah, that's right.
The signature of good content is something that other people would want to cite, something other people would want to
mm-hmm.
say, this is a resource.
Mm-hmm.
If you create something to where your competitor's site feels incomplete if he doesn't link into your site, then that's like amazing content. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is a great way to look at it. Let's talk about linking, especially on the site. You know, there's some things you can do to help your overall being found in terms of links that you have on your site, and both incoming or not incoming, but outgoing and internally.
Okay. One thing a lot of people mess up is when they get visitors to their site, they're like, I need to keep these visitors.
Right.
Well sometimes if you have some types of pages make sense to cite other resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't cite like the topical resources that make sense, then you're saying, kind of screw the rest of the web. I can create everything myself.
I know everything. Yeah.
So
right.
and the problem is in doing that, you're working against the forces of the web. You're not working with it.
Mm-hmm.
So where it makes sense, create your own stuff, but sometimes it does make sense to link out to the appropriate topical resources.
Right, and I have heard at least a lot of people will do these resource pages, and they'll just have a, you know, Joe's Taco Shop, you know, and a hyperlink, it's actually quite helpful if you go ahead and put a description, a pretty detailed description of what that link is all about, as well, because I think then you get some good content, don't you?
Yeah, and that's another thing. If you have resource pages about various topics,
mm-hmm.
and you use a descriptive link text, and you have descriptions next to
right.
that, you end up creating a lot of content based around a theme.
Yeah.
And so long as you don't unnaturally constrain it, so long as you kind of write it naturally, like, you know, this is who these people are, this is what this is.
Right.
A lot of it's going to just random search queries. I talked about half of them being unique each day. You're just going to start showing up for some of those. So.
Well, and a lot of people, I think, waste those links. You know, they'll have stuff like about us, contact us, our history. And I think, would you say that having those links, which maybe show up on every page and which, you know, show up numerous times, having them have some meaningful content to the link is probably a good strategy?
Yeah, you still want the links to make sense to people. So sometimes
right.
you do have to use about us or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you can a lot of times people, like if you link using like a part number to the part or something,
yes.
that's going to help a lot more than saying using like the word product as the
right.
anchor text. So
and you already mentioned the idea of having incoming links from other sites. Do you want to talk about that maybe a little bit as a strategy in terms of, you know, is there a good way to do that, or is that, you know, for most small businesses, is that sort of hand-to-hand combat? Go out, find good sites, and contact them and give them a reason to link back?
There's really two or three ways that there's a couple ways I look at it. There's varying search algorithms that are going to look for different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like some algorithms are going to look more for your topical integration or how well people within your community are citing your site.
Right, right.
Other ones aren't as good as are more primitive. They aren't as good at scrubbing links. They don't understand the context of the links as well.
Uh-huh.
Like, so for MSN, if you can just get links from a wide number of websites, you can probably rank well in it.
Okay.
I spent like a... You still want to get the anchor text to be as descriptive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your site's about, that's what you want to be in the link text. A good example of that is left and right-wing bloggers
mm-hmm.
use miserable failure as a link text. And they,
they
fight over Michael Moore and George Bush both trying to be number one. So they're but that shows you, even though nobody really wants to be labeled that, it kind of shows you the power of the anchor text that they're able to lift the
site. Yeah, and I'm going to stop you on a high-tech term there. What are you saying by talking about anchor text is a lot of people would just have a link. Again, when you ask somebody to link back to your site, one of the best strategies is to actually give them suggested, you know, maybe it's 30, 40 words or whatever it is, a description of what's on your site as well as the link, or maybe just the name of your company, and suggest that they put that entire link back, and because that's when we're talking about the anchor text, that's the anchor text that then starts building a little bit of out there on the web, builds some keywords for your link. Did I miss anything on that, Aaron?
I'll try to explain it the best I understand it.
Okay.
It's the words near the link text.
Yes.
May have some effect in some search algorithms on relevancy.
Uh-huh.
The words in the link text have an extreme effect on relevancy.
Okay.
Another thing to look out for is unnatural linkage patterns. Now, if everyone and their brother links to you using the exact same link text, even if it's your official site name, eventually that can end up hurting you. An example of this is in February, Google rolled out I guess you can call it a filter, to where
uh-huh.
if you had too many site-wide links and the link text was too similar, then suddenly sites would stop ranking for sometimes even their official names. Like PayPal wasn't ranking for PayPal.
Oh, wow.
for a while my SEO book site wasn't ranking for the term SEO book because so many of the links were similar. So if you have a site title or if you have a site name that's bound to naturally pick up a lot of link text using a specific anchor set, then sometimes you'll want to use slightly different terms in your links on the links you can control.
Okay.
How I was saying, there's two different levels of the topical integrating links and then the low-quality bulk links. One of the better ways to get the low-quality bulk links is you write articles and submit them to other sites, press releases.
Right.
There's probably thousands of directories you can submit to.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a list of about 150 so far, and I work on building that. And the key there is I check that they make sure that they provide static text links that are indexed by the search engine C, and that those can help build that that low quality bulk link count. And another thing that a lot of people mess up is they get 1,000 links from one site and think that counts, like, I just got 1,000 links.
Yeah.
Search algorithms, the idea is that they're going for is one site, one vote.
Yeah.
So if a site links to you 1,000 times, then that's only going to, whatever the best link is, it'll probably count about that much, maybe a little more, but it's not like it counts 1,000 times.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk a minute about, are there any other biggies you want to mention in terms of things that you need to focus on?
That's pretty much it. Just make sure you mix your anchor text and your links, and then how you said you can give them stuff to link near the text and or in the link text and near it. You want to make sure that that's mixed up some too, because if that's always the exact same, even if it's not something the search engines pick up today, as they get more advanced.
Right.
It doesn't look like it's naturally occurring. Like when people link to you naturally, sometimes it'll be like www.seobook.com or SEO book ran together or SEObook.com ran together. So it's like.
Or check out Aaron Wall's site.com.
Sometimes Aaron Wall, your anchor text mixes if it's done naturally. So you want to emulate what would be considered natural.
So let's, I do get this question every now and then. Are there any just, no-nos, stuff you see people doing that they absolutely should not do that you know is hurting them?
There's a lot.
A couple of the biggies, that Google really penalizes you for, maybe?
Some of them are penalties, and then some are just improper site structures that hurt you. If you have a dynamic content management system, you need to make sure that it's deemed search engine friendly.
Right.
You want that way, because some sites fail by, they get their homepage indexed, and that's great, but search engines don't go through the rest of the site. And while I may look for Joe's Taco Hut, I'm not going to see his super supreme, biggest three heads burrito on page 3 unless that page gets indexed.
Right.
So that's one front where a lot of people mess up on.
Okay.
And then another is most of the other penalties are usually related to, from what I've seen, most of them are usually related to linkage data. If you link out to sites, it's fine to link to good sites. But if you find yourself exchanging text links with various Viagra, casino, and mortgage loan, hard money lender type sites, what ends up happening is a lot of those sites are made temporarily with intent to grab as much money as they can before they get penalized.
Right.
Well, if you're linking into a bunch of penalized sites, if your outbound link ratio is high enough, of penalized links, if you're linking to enough bad ones, well, then they're like, well, this guy's linking all these bad sites. This must be a bad site, too.
Yeah.
So that hurts people a lot, too.
I like to tell at least a lot of the small business owners I work with to go out and do some searching, and find folks that maybe are because there are a lot of businesses where, I certainly have links to folks that you might consider competitors. And one of the things that I have found is by going out and searching on terms that are important to you and really trying to target some of those folks that do well in those terms already can be a great place to start to kind of build your hand list of folks you might want to contact a link with.
Right. And those sites that are ranking high there, and then those sites which are linking into those.
Right.
I created a free tool. It's called Hub Finder.
Hub Finder, okay.
What it does is it looks for co-citation.
Yeah.
Basically what happens is if you have a page that links to your three largest competitors, some algorithms are going to say are going to be looking for, like what I called earlier, topical integration.
Yep.
How well you're linked within that community.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's linking to five other people or three other people on the same topic, well then that a link on that page may have more value to you than a link on some random topic.
And
another benefit is that if they're linking to a whole bunch of your competitors on that topic,
well
then there's probably a greater chance that they would be interested in maybe linking to you.
That's right. So let's I talked about, and I've really sold this thing, and we're more than halfway through. I really sold this thing on the idea of localized search. And so I want to spend the rest of our time talking about that. But in my mind, in some ways, what we've talked about is still appropriate. It's you know, localized search or being found locally, in some ways, is just a subset of what we've been talking about. It just has some, in my mind, it just has some different strategies. So let's talk a little bit about ways that you might localize these on-page things you talked about. Do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, a lot of businesses, especially in some of the other countries, or if people are looking for something really local, a lot of times if you put your business address on the page,
right,
that can help bring you up for those types of queries.
Yeah, and I would say that's an amazing thing, that how often people don't do that. Or if they do it, they put it on there as an image, which gives you no value in terms of content. So I would highly recommend you have your full address, locality, and whatnot in fact on every page. It really does become content then, you know, that is Kansas City or Los Angeles or Seattle or wherever it is you are.
Uh-huh. MSN put out a search blog that covers their changing search technology.
Okay.
One of their features with MSN is it's called Search Near Me.
Yeah.
And it looks for sites, and you can, and it has three different things you can dial up. One of them's like how important the document is. I forget what the other one was, and the third one's like how close the document, or one of them was freshness too.
Yeah.
So what it does is people can dial up, I want one that's really close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that their search blog also recommended doing was that you put the address on there, like 1 Redmond Drive, comma, Seattle, Washington, Bangor, Washington, comma, zip code, you know?
Right.
All on one line. So that's how they that's how MSN recommends doing it.
No, well, and then are there any I've seen some uses. I don't know if they're valuable or not, but I've actually even seen some local metadata tags, you know, like zip code and longitude and latitude, and I mean, are those important?
I think in terms of most of the global search engines and stuff, that stuff's going to not be that important.
Okay.
They're better at collecting lots of data through linkage data and stuff like that. A couple other things that can help you rank well in local search engines. Let's say you're from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your site's, I don't think it matters from state to state inside the United States as much, by the way. But if you're from the UK and you host a site on servers in the UK, well, then that can help you rank higher in that local engine.
Right. Because the IP addresses and things.
Yeah. And then same thing with the domain extension. If you're from a certain country and that's your main target country, well, then you might want to use that extension too if possible.
Right. Go ahead.
The last thing that works in all search engines is they're going to read the linkage data. If tons of resources that are deemed to be local in nature or on a specific topic in nature, because location could just be kind of viewed as another conceptual topic.
Right.
If lots of sites fitting those themes link into you, well, then it can be assumed that you well fit that theme too.
Well, and I see a lot of people don't take advantage of just local content. In other words, you know, taglines like, you know, Kansas City's oldest and biggest and most trusted whatever. You know, things of that nature can help too, I would assume.
Yep. It helps to sometimes, I mean, if you're primarily serving just the local market, you know, the location probably should be part of the page title, you know?
Right. Well, and the other thing that I have used very effectively is using it as part of the internal links. I have a remodeling contractor that scores very, very well in almost all localized terms, like Kansas City kitchen remodeling or bath remodeling, and it's because we put as their internal links, all of their internal links, instead of just saying kitchen designs, say Kansas City kitchen designs. And it works in terms of the content. It doesn't look too clumsy, but it definitely helps them in terms of scoring well when somebody, and that's one of those terms that people do search locally. They're not going to hire a remodeling contractor that is, six states away.
Right. And you can also sometimes that's one of the nice things about some of the directories. Some of them have editorial guidelines that say you must use your official site name or whatever, but some of them will let you go, like, you're just more or less buying a link, and some of those links may eventually, some of those sites may eventually get penalized if they don't have any quality standards at all.
Right.
But and realize that some of your, just like other ad purchases, they might be temporary, nothing lasts forever. But
right.
You can sometimes get the, San Diego, whatever, in those too. And if you use, sometimes some people have site names that are designed around specific markets.
Right.
And as long as you have enough unique content on it to sell it as being its own thing, a lot of times you can, people are bound to link to you often using your official site name.
Right.
And a directory owner is not going to say, no, you can't list that as San Diego Web Design if your site name is sandiegowebdesign.com.
Right.
So sometimes the domain name can help too.
Let's talk about the search engines. Every single one of them, at least the ones that you mentioned, has now launched either officially or in beta some form of local search. Google local, and I'll include all the links to these for people who want to go find them. But Yahoo has local, MSN local, Jeeves local, AOL local. So what do people need to do, or do they need to do anything to take advantage of the fact that somebody types in, massage therapist zip code 64113. Google is trying to now, and all the search engines now are trying to show directory listings for folks that are maybe around that zip code. So is there anything people need to be doing or finding out to take advantage of these folks, sort of new push into the local search game?
The one of the biggest things with local search is that it's pretty much like brand new.
Right.
Yellow Pages, I think, between like in North America, it's like a $16 billion a year business.
Right.
And the on-the-web guys don't necessarily have all the data that all the off-the-web guys do about the various businesses.
Right.
So sometimes in doing that, to start building that database, they're going to give you value for under its fair market value. Like, just to be able to collect the data from you, it helps them out a lot.
So free listings, might be an example. So.
Right, yeah.
So right,
Google,
okay.
Google recently, Google Local recently opened up a local small business center.
Right.
And you can see if you're listed in Google Local yet. And if you're not, you can add your information for free.
Right. Yeah. And I'll give people the links for all of these. Go ahead there.
Yahoo Local also allows free listings.
Right.
And they also have premium slots for only $9.95 a month. Now, if you compare that to the global Yahoo directory at $300 a year, you might be getting a lot more value out of just paying $10 a month to be number one for your business sector, especially if you're in a large metropolitan area. It might drive significant business.
Yeah, that could be a tremendous investment. And the way you're presenting these results, too, are in many cases they'll have links back to – they'll certainly have address, phone number, links back to the site, maybe even because all of them are in the mapping game now, maybe they'll have actual directions and maps to your place. It's pretty tremendous.
Yeah, I think Yahoo Local doesn't even require a website yet either. Like, they can, even if you don't have a website up yet, you can still, as long as you have a legitimate physical address, you can still be listed.
Okay. Now, in that kind of that same vein, you mentioned this idea of these directories. Are there any directories beyond sort of what the search engines have? Are there any directories that people should make sure that they get in, or that they should research with the idea of maybe purchasing ads in?
It's going to depend on the size of your business and how much, all the economics of it. But if you see, like, within the global search indexes, if you keep searching for San Diego flowers and you keep seeing some directory listed in there, Mm-hmm. Well, it's worth it to pay to be on that page if that's going to be sending you a lot of traffic. Like if something's already ranking decent in some of the search indexes for some of your search queries, then those might be really good ways to show up because they're already seen as being somewhat authoritative on that topic.
So this is like Smart Pages or Super Pages or YellowPages.com. You know, those are all directories that will, for a fee, allow you to list your business.
Right, and some of those will rank pretty well just because the power of those URLs. Those are pretty well established businesses.
Now, you mentioned the search engines don't really have the data. Are any of them pulling their data from those sources?
Some of them are, like MSN Local is powered from CitySearch. Ask Jeeves Local is powered from CitySearch. I believe Google Local partnered with the biggest Canadian Yellow Page company to pull data from them.
Okay, so it might make some sense to be in those just long term, you know, to make sure that you're showing up on all of the when this local search continues to pick up steam. It's still a little new, but all indications are it's going to pick up steam.
Mm-hmm.
There's another directory out there that's a little misunderstood, and maybe it's changed over the years, but I still hear a lot of people say that it's important to be in it, particularly in the local idea, because it allows you they do allow you to categorize yourself to whatever level fits. But it's this open directory.
Uh-huh.
Is the open directory still as important as it once was?
There's going to be a ton of variables with that.
Okay.
In some industries, it might be almost required to be listed in.
Well, at one point, weren't there some search engines that if you weren't in that, you weren't going to get listed?
A lot of people syndicate that database.
Okay.
And a lot of search engines, when they start crawling the web, they use seed sets or initial sites to start crawling from.
Right.
So they could start crawling at the Open Directory Project, the Yahoo directory, and some of the larger ISP sites. Or you look for some of the sites that would be good starting points to start scouring the web from.
Mm-hmm.
But a nice thing about Open Directory Project listing is that some of those listings are some algorithms may be tuned to where they place additional relevant spam links from there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's ideally supposed to be one of the higher quality sites, you know.
Right, because it's all the sites are theoretically viewed by a real person and before they get listed. And again, I'll have this link, but for those of you, I mean, I guess what I hear you saying is there's really no reason not to be in it.
Right.
To get your site listed. And it's called the Open Directory Project. Any search will find it for you, but it's literally just dmoz.org. And there's a lot of instructions about how to get listed, and it actually will allow you to list your business all the way down to the locale in terms of a category. So if you're a flower shop in a certain city, you can get listed in their directory for that city in that category.
The Open Directory Project is completely editor run, so sometimes you'll submit and in 2 days you'll be listed, and you're like, wow, that's cool. And then sometimes you submit and like a year later you're not listed, and there might be vindictive editors that are just never list you. So it's really like rolling the dice with them.
It is. Yeah, I've heard that because it's all volunteers, and some folks sign up and never do anything. So
and as you get into more high margin areas like adults or gambling, well, there's a lot of money to be had by promoting your own wares and locking competition out of the linkage data.
Oh, so some of the volunteers you're suggesting might have an interest.
there's certainly a system that big with like 60,000 editors is going to have some amount of corruption in it.
I want to jump to this is a little bit different topic, but maybe you could speak a minute or two. I mean, almost every web hosting business offers a client some form of tracking so that they can look at visitors and statistics and who's doing what and where they're coming from. And there's a lot of confusion, I find, when I talk to people about what those numbers really mean. Would you just briefly kind of tell us, if somebody's looking at stats from a stats package, you know, what are the key categories in terms of trying to determine if their search engine optimization is working at all? You know, what are the key things to look at?
All right. Well, one of the first things that I'd like to state on that topic is that when you're analyzing the statistics of a site, what you're actually looking at is what people are seeing and what they're doing already there. you may not necessarily be seeing what they're missing out on. So in that respect, by analyzing the data, you can learn a lot, but sometimes you'll miss out on some ideas. Like, you couldn't analyze data and predict that people were going to end up liking owning a pet rock or something.
Yeah.
So there is a limit to how much that data can help you, but,
okay.
but it can help a lot. The biggest thing to track, of course, is going to be sales. Now, a lot of offline businesses have a problem tracking crossing over online and offline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the two biggest ways to track what is happening where is you can set up different 800 numbers or different store numbers on websites that you're advertising various
mm-hmm.
ways
mm-hmm.
and track them that way. And you can also give people coupon codes, and their coupon code could align with, okay, I know that this was on this paid ad in Google or this was from this
mm-hmm.
website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
but again, one of the questions that I get a lot of times is, you know, statistics package show you about 50 different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is it visitors? Is it hits? Is it pages? Is it, you know, kilobytes? I mean, are any of those more important than another? That if nothing else, tell you sort of the growth pattern of whether or not you're attracting more traffic?
I think there's two important stats are going to be the number of unique visitors.
Unique visitors, okay.
And then the average page views per visitor. And because, like, if you have a lot of unique visitors and everybody's leaving after the first page, well, that
yeah.
could still be a bad sign.
Yes.
You know, so you want people to be getting into the content. And, I mean, sometimes if you're directing them right at a sales letter, maybe they just buy right away and that's good.
Right, yeah.
But it all depends a lot of times on how the site's configured. Like I have a weblog. And I have, like, thousands of people come to my site, view the homepage, and leave. So
mm-hmm.
just the format of the data means that I'm
right.
going to have a lot of, you know, one-page-and-out type people.
Right.
But it depends on how your data structured the patterns you're really looking for.
Yeah, but that's good, though, because I know there's a lot of people get really confused. They see thousands of hits, and, of course, you know, that's pretty worthless because it's measuring, you know, every image file that was pulled, and so that's good clarification, I think.
Yeah,
because a lot of these stats packages do probably more than people know what they're seeing.
Yeah, there's a lot of redundancies in data, like
yeah.
what you're saying about multiple images on a page or you know stuff like that. There's lots of redundancies in the data, but there's a lot of value to it. But you know, you got to also keep in mind that that there's going to be stuff that you might
yeah.
not get from that, and you might have to look to the offline world and talk to your customers some about how they do things, how they search for stuff, how they look for stuff, to figure out where you're
yeah.
missing.
Yeah, that's a great point that I don't hear many people saying is that, you know, obviously, if you drive millions of people to your site but only two of them, you know, are actual prospects, then you haven't really done much. And so this idea of really going out and talking to your current clients on top of it just being a good marketing strategy anyway, you know, is really probably a great way to get some feel for what people really, I mean, again, drive 10 people, but if those are the 10 right people, then you're miles ahead, aren't you?
Yep. That's...
So I'm going to ask you before we kind of wrap up here, we're winding down, and you know we could probably just take almost any one of these topics and talked about an hour. We really cruised through a bunch of topics, but what would you say to somebody? And I know the caveat on this is the first answer is buy your book, which I would agree, the SEO book on your site at SEObook.com. But if somebody said, gosh, I really need to go out and learn more about this, or I need to start paying attention to some feeds, you know, that talk about this, in addition to your book, would you say there are some others that maybe you rely on or that you've learned a lot from that you might want to mention?
Yeah, there's a couple newsletters and forums that are pretty good. Like Search Engine Watch is a pretty good forum.
Right.
Search Guild is a smaller forum, but they're really helpful. And
Search
not,
Guild, okay.
Yep, there's not a lot of sales pitch type stuff and
okay.
Not a lot of noise at those forums.
Okay.
As far as other, I'm trying to think. There's a lot of weblogs that are really good. I could probably – I actually track about 150 weblogs.
Wow.
So it'll be hard. I think for general marketing stuff –
Are you going to send me an OPML file or something?
I can send you a few. I was going to say a couple general marketing marketing blogs
uh-huh.
that I think are really good. This one curses a bit. It's gappingvoid.com.
GAPP, gapping, like that?
I think it's, you can search for it, the spell will autocorrect. And Seth Godin's blog is also a pretty good regular marketing blog. And then
Aaron, you haven't mentioned duct tape marketing yet. I'm shocked.
Duct tape marketing was, well, I thought everyone knew already.
you're right. Good point there. So, okay. I think, again, because I try to keep these in an hour, we're really just going to run out of time. But there's tons more we could talk about, and you've given us some great, not only ideas, but great resources. And, is there anything tricky about people finding your book? Just go to SEObook.com and there it would be.
Yeah, that's I have it locked in as the number 2 post on the homepage. So always there.
So it's always there on that site. Great. Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time. And for those of you still on the call here today, we went through a lot of resources and lists and websites, and Aaron's even going to send me a few more here, and I'm going to put together a resource kind of page notes, and here's how you get a hold of that. Those of you who are on here in the past know where I'm headed, but what I'd like you to do is send an email to john@ducttapemarketing.com and just give me some feedback on how you thought the program went. You know, if you want to give us a glowing testimonial about how smart Aaron is, that's fair game as well. For those of you that choose to do that and send that to me, I will then fire off a link to a page that will give you kind of all these resources in one spot so you don't have to try to hunt around and find them yourself. And Aaron, again, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your expertise, and I hope we stay in touch and talk again.
All right. Thanks for having me, John.
All right. Take care. Bye, all.